All right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We've been talking about the new heart that God gives to us when we become his follower. And Paul has been writing this letter telling us the first place that we should really exemplify this new heart that we have in Jesus is at home. And so Paul has been taking us through, in the third chapter, a series of roles that took place in the ancient home. The role of the wife, the role of the husband, the role of the parents, the role of the slave, the role of the master, the role of the child. And we realize that within those six roles, there's actually three sets of relationships. And so we've just been talking through these relationships. The relationship between a wife and a husband, between a child and a parent, and then we're going to look at next week slaves and masters. So we've been talking about children and parents. Last week we learned that if your kids are really bad, the Bible says just kill them, and so then you can just move on with life. Obviously, I'm being facetious and joking. This morning we want to go from the other side of the relationship. Let's talk about parenting just for a minute. We're in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 says this: Fathers, and it's referring to both mother and father, but it's addressing the father. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. If we go to a couple of books to the left, to the book of Ephesians, like we've done before, we see Paul addresses the same topic there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. I was in Home Depot, I think, on Monday or Tuesday, and as I was standing in line waiting to check out, there were two young girls behind me, and they started to chatter back and forth. And when I turned and looked, one was probably 8 and one was 10, and they were sisters. And they had a bag of snacks in their hands. And the older sister was telling the younger sister, you know what? Mom said we could get a snack, and Mom gave me the money to buy the snacks. I have chips. You have Cracker Jacks. Cracker Jacks are not a snack. They're a candy. Mom doesn't want you to have Cracker Jacks. Go put them back and get chips. The younger sister says, no, Cracker Jacks are a snack. Mom would be fine with me having Cracker Jacks. I'm going to buy Cracker Jacks. And the older sister said, no, I have the money. And Mom said a snack. And Cracker Jacks are not a snack. Go put those back and get some chips. And she started stomping her feet, the younger one did, and said, no, I want Cracker Jacks. And Mom thinks it'll be fine. Older sister, nope, I'm not buying you Cracker Jacks no matter what you say. And they bantered back and forth until finally the younger child started tearing up and crying and getting really mad. And finally she stomped off to go put her Cracker Jacks box and back and to get some chips. And as I saw this, I turned to the older sister and I said, you're just a mean older sister, aren't you? And this is what she said. She said this, well, sometimes she's mean to me. It was so funny. It was totally like, I don't mind being mean to her because sometimes she's being mean to me. That older sister was exasperating the younger sister and provoking her. And you know, it's funny when children do it to each other, when sisters do it to sisters or brothers do it to brothers. It happens all the time between siblings. But it's a completely different issue, isn't it, if a parent is doing this to a child. When a parent purposely exasperates their children and discourages them. When a parent uses their position of authority to poke and prod their child purposely with the hope of getting them mad. It happens all the time. I've done it to my children once in a while. So Paul is giving us some very simple instructions as parents and grandparents. And what he does is he gives us two parenting tendencies to avoid, and then he gives us two parenting obligations to fulfill. So he's kind of taken these two. If we take these two verses, we see that Paul is going to tell us as parents and grandparents, hey, here's two tendencies that parents have that we should avoid. And then on the opposite side of the coin, here are two really positive things that you can do to help your children be all that they can be. Number one, Two parenting tendencies to avoid. Number one, exasperate. Exasperate means to irritate to the point of arousing anger. Just like that older sister, she's stirring the pot of her sister's heart until she gets mad and cries. And then she's won. And sometimes as parents, we can do things that stir the heart of our child to irritate them to the point of getting them angry. And some of us parents and grandparents even enjoy the process. We like that authority. And so we use our words, we use our rules, we use criticism, we use our own emotions, and we stir their hearts to anger because we exasperate them. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. The word provoke is a little different twist on the same idea. The word provoke means that I'm angry, and now I'm going to push my anger on you. The word provoke literally means to take a hot iron out of the fire and with that red hot tip, poke someone until they get angry because I'm angry. And I'm transferring my emotional state onto my child. They've done something or someone else has done something and I come home from work or they get up from their nap and they find mom or dad just in a bad mood. And mom or dad get out the hot iron and through their words or through their actions provoke and transfer their anger into the heart of their child. And Paul says very emphatically, in fact, there are two commands here. Don't do these things. Don't do them. See, as we look at this, anger in the heart of our children can come from our emotionally driven parenting or grandparenting. You know, how I feel today emotionally drives how I parent. If I'm happy today, the kids are loving on me like no tomorrow. But when they see that look on my face and they know the emotion that's behind that look, they run for their room and close the door. Because I parent emotionally. If I'm up, the kids are awesome. If I'm down, they can't do any right. So anger can be stirred into the heart of our children through emotionally driven parenting. We really need to ask God to help us as parents and grandparents to be emotionally stable leaders in our home. Second of all, unclear parenting. Unclear parenting is your child doesn't know what's expected of him or her. Last report card, a C got me an ice cream cone. Today, a C on my report card got me restriction. I'm not sure what a C on my next report card will get me. I came home an hour late. Last week you didn't say a word, I come home an hour late today and you blow up at me. I didn't make my bed this morning and nothing happened tomorrow. If I don't make my bed, you might blow up at me. Unclear parenting. We're going to talk in a minute about the opposite side of these things and how our children and grandchildren need clear guidelines. Or inconsistent. Inconsistent parenting. Where I'm angry one day and I'm happy the next. So we can stir hearts toward anger. We can infuse discouragement. We can actually help put our anger inside the heart of our children and grandchildren. If we're emotionally driven parents or grandparents, or if we're unclear, or if we're inconsistent. So Paul says we need to avoid these things. We need to not do them. And I don't know about you, but we've all fallen into this trap. I've fallen into this trap sometimes. Come home from a difficult day at work or a bad day on the golf course. Or something happens in your life that's not related to your kids at all, and we take that emotion out on them. Or the child wakes up in the morning walking on pins and needles because they're unclear about expectations and moods. Or just flat out inconsistent. Inconsistent. Paul says we got to be careful. Because in Colossians, he tells us so that they do not lose heart. They can get discouraged. They can get downcast. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, we can stir up anger in our children or grandchildren. So don't do these two things. I know the story of a pastor who had a problem with anger. And as his children got a little older, he had a rule in the house. And the rule in the house was if dad raises his voice for whatever reasons, you're free to get up and walk out of the room even if he tells you to sit down. Because he was emotionally driven in his parenting. And he was stirring up anger and discouragement in their hearts. Number two parenting obligations to fulfill. He tells us there to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Now, discipline has a wide spectrum of understanding. But last week we saw that children growing up, if they can understand the authority principle, which means a child in the home learns to submit to the authority of the parents and learns to submit to the flow of the family and to their role in the family. We saw last week that as they move from the house out into the adult world, they're going to have a much better chance of having a good life and a long life, because if they learn how to submit to their parents, then they're going to learn how to submit to their coaches and to their teachers and to the civil government and to the police officer and to their boss at work in the future and to their future spouses. So if a child can learn the authority principle in the home, we saw last week, God says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You're setting a roadmap of the best possible options for your children or grandchildren. But who's supposed to teach them this discipline? Who's supposed to instill in them this authority? Because children don't learn it on their own. There's a couple of Proverbs I want us to look at. So if you want to go with me to the Old Testament, let's go to Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at a couple of verses about children and foolishness. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Foolishness is the idea that a child has about how life works. Foolishness in the heart of a child tends to say, I don't need to learn to submit to authority. And if they don't learn how to submit to authority, we are putting them on a road that's going to lead to a harder life and very possibly a shorter life. So this foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And it says there, the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Now the rod of discipline is just the picture of a little rod. A little wooden rod that when the child acts out against the authority, you have them bend over and you give them a smack on the bottom. My dad always told us there's a direct nerve that connects your buttocks to your brain. And if you stimulate one, it stimulates the other. Now, we're not talking here about obviously beating your child for no reason or abuse or anything like that. But we're talking about you have to understand where children come from. They come from a position of foolishness. And if we want to drive it out of them when they're young, we have to bring discipline into their life in the name of the Lord. Otherwise, we're going to set them loose into the adult world, struggling with many issues in their life. Chapter 23 and verse 13. I love this. Do not hold back discipline from your child. Although you strike them with the rod, he will not die. Have you ever disciplined your child and the way that they're screaming and wailing, they think they're going to die, and you think they're going to die? A smack on the bottom is not going to kill your child. Discipline is not going to kill your child, although they think it might kill them. It's not going to kill them. Chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. There's nothing more exciting for a mom and a dad to see their children succeed as adults out in the adult world. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to see your adult children struggling out in the adult world. And a child who grows up in the home getting their way as they move into the adult world is going to bring shame on mom and dad because they haven't learned to submit to authority. Now, I know that when we talk about the rod or we talk about physical punishment, it's not popular in our culture. And I know that in many cases, spankings has become a national issue. And maybe your child doesn't need spanking. The point here is that they learn how to submit to your authority in home. And if they'll do that with a harsh word or that look from mom, you know the look. You remember the look that your mom gave you or when she used to say your whole name, right? Philip James. I knew I was in trouble. We need instruction because there's foolishness built up in the heart of a child. When I was in Kenya this last couple of weeks, the place that I was staying had some plants outside the front door, and one of them was one of those succulent plants with the thick leaves, you know, the thick, juicy leaves. And when I was a kid, the neighbor next door had the same kind of plant in front of their house. And I remember playing outside one day and wandering over there, and I just picked one up, and I realized on the sidewalk you could write with these things if you pressed them real hard. And so I grabbed a handful of them and I went up to the neighbor's garage door because it was white, and I wrote a bunch of words on the neighbor's garage door. And a couple hours later, my dad comes home and he knocks on my room and he says, "Son, can you come outside with me for a minute?" And he walks me over to the neighbor's garage and he says, "Did you write these words on the garage door?" And I wanted so desperately to say, "No, it wasn't me, it was my brother." But I wrote, "Phil was here." You can't really plead the fifth when it says Phil was here. You just do silly things. They do silly things. We're children. But how are we going to get that foolishness out of them? The Bible says discipline. Now, discipline has a wide range of ideas. One of the ideas is routines. You can have the discipline of routines. Children need routine. They need a morning routine when they get up and get ready for school. They need a dinner routine. They need a bedtime routine. Routines are awesome for kids to get them to learn how to cooperate within the family and to bring them stability. So part of the discipline of a parent is not necessarily punishment, but it's just instilling in them a sense of routine. Children thrive under routines. They should get up at about the same time. They should do their morning stuff, go to school, come home, have dinner about the same time, go to bed about the same time, and get into this routine and this flow. It's good for children. It's part of the structure or the word discipline that we're giving to them. Children also need boundaries. Boundaries both for protection, don't run out in the street, don't run off with a stranger, don't go out of my sight in the store, don't watch that movie, don't go on the internet, put your phone away, don't stay up all night. They need boundaries for their protection and for their goodness. Boundaries like, here's the chores that you do. You're part of our family. And so your job is to do this every day. You don't have to do sister's job, but this is your job. Boundaries are very healthy for children, for protection and goodness. It's also found in the word discipline. And then finally, punishments. Punishments for bad behaviors or bad attitudes. We have three sons, and when one of them was 2 years old, he came out of the kitchen with an orange. We had just gotten some carpet and new linoleum in the kitchen, so we had told the kids, we want you to eat in the kitchen and don't bring food onto the carpet. And our two-year-old son walked into the carpet when Ruth was sitting in the front room, and he started eating the orange, and it started dripping. So Ruth said, son, will you please go back in the kitchen and eat the orange? He just stood there and looked at her and kept eating the orange. So she says, son, I'm telling you, please go in the kitchen and eat the orange in there. Again, he stared at her and kept eating the orange. And finally she said, okay, if you're going to choose to eat the orange there, you can either go back in the kitchen or you're going to go into your room and get a smack on the bottom. He took the orange and he dropped it onto the carpet and he stepped on it. At that moment, my son doesn't need a routine. Okay? He doesn't need a boundary. Okay? He needs a punishment so that when he thinks of doing the same thing again, he remembers that the punishment outweighed the pleasure of doing the bad. Does that make sense? So he disciplines himself not to do it again. Now, a punishment, your child might be very compliant. Hey, and your child just might need a scolding. Your child just might need a timeout. Your child just might need to, you know, write out a letter that they're sorry. What the point is, whatever punishment will get them to submit to the authority that's before them is the goal. My son at that moment needed to be taken into his bedroom and given a smack on the bottom because he was defying authority. And if that kind of young man goes out into the adult world, what kind of trouble are they going to get into? And so, yes, children need to learn to obey their parents, but whose job is it to train them to obey? It's us as parents or grandparents. My oldest grandson is 3 now. And Ruth and I were talking just a little bit ago. We see the same stuff in our grandson that we saw in this particular son. And paybacks are awesome as grandparents. Okay? But bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. And then finally, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. We don't have time to look at it this morning. We're already out of time. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. There's formal training in the ways and the words of the Lord. It's great to have times of formal training with your kids or your grandkids. Read a Bible story with them. Pray with them. Watch a Christian cartoon with them. Have a formal time. When our kids were really little, before they'd go to school, we had the opportunity to have time to go through a proverb. Whatever the day of the month it was, we opened up that proverb and read a couple of verses. And I realized that I don't have to be at the office until 9. So when my kids left for school at 8, I was able to be there to do that. Some of you leave way before that, and the morning time isn't a good time. It's not possible. But find a time where we can have formal times in the ways and the words of the Lord. Bring them to church. Bring them to Sunday school, to youth group. Let them get exposed formally to the ways and the words of God. Informal teaching during moments of openness. I've learned that many times your child, my child, will be open because of something they've just experienced. And we can take advantage of that tender-hearted moment to speak into their life the things of God. And that's what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy says you should do it when you lie down, when you get up, when you're on your way, you're going from here to there. Training them in the love and the instruction of the Lord is not always a super formal event. It can be informal as well. But again, it's our job as parents and grandparents to stay away from exasperating, to stay away from provoking, and to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Well, that's again Paul's instruction. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. And again, we're grateful to the time that God has given to us in His Word. Let's stand together. And we're out of time. We're over time. Let's reach out and grab your neighbor's hand. And let's close our time in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for our parents. Some of them were absolutely wonderful. Although not perfect, wonderful. Thank You for what we learned from them. Lord, some of our parents were less than wonderful. And yet You taught us things. And we learned. And now, Lord, it's our turn. It's our turn to be the parent. It's our turn to be the grandparent. And I pray, Lord, that we would not just push our responsibilities aside. Keep us free from the temptation of exasperating or provoking. Give us emotional stability in our parenting. Give us clear guidelines and help us to be consistent. And Lord, may we never take our own emotional condition and infuse it into the heart of our children. Help us to learn how to bring them up in discipline and the instruction of your word and your ways. Show us how to do that, we pray, O Lord. Thank You for bringing us here together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.